I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, your daily dose of news the way it's supposed to be told. The daily dose of news, I believe, the way Thomas Jefferson would approve news to be told. Fact, not fake. Principle, not political party agenda. I am Chris Ann Hall, and you can find us at chrisannhall.com, chrisannhall.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I have with me, as I do every day with very few exceptions, my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. My husband grew up in rural Florida. And when he was growing up, you had several jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this sort of news story, this headline, I'll admit, a headline that caught my eye. Don't look. Because I'm going to ask you about it, that caught my eye because I thought that it would be relevant to you. I thought maybe you might be able to have some input. So NPR reports this morning at 10:41 a.m. Eastern Time that the U.S. government tried to replace migrant farm workers with high schoolers. Now, I think that's supposed to be something that is offensive to us, that we would send high schoolers out into the fields to work. And I thought that I might just get a little bit of your personal experience feedback from that to find out what you have to say about that.
What? They're saying is a bad thing.
Yep.
That replaced migrant workers, like took their opportunity
took
away.
Their opportunity away and made high school kids go out and work in the fields.
Yeah. So around here, you went out and picked tobacco, which maybe would have been a migrant. I don't know. I don't recall that migrants did that. In fact, here in North Florida, at the tobacco farms that were nearby, it was kind of a expected thing. That's what you did. So in the summer.
Your high school job.
Yeah, the summer. And I seems like I remember kids even younger than high school. I don't know what the laws were then or if people followed them. But, we picked tobacco in the summer, which was really grueling work and, not pleasant. Probably, I don't know if they allow kids to do that anymore. It was not nice. But, I mean, it was nice when you got paid. But, it taught kids hard work.
Yeah. And so one of the promos at this time, now this was a movement apparently back in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, right?
Yeah.
So
this was in the 80s when I did this. I baled hay for 50 cent a bale.
Yeah. So the idea was the catch logo for the advertisement to get kids to do this was, quote, farm work builds men.
Absolutely.
And so now what they're saying is this article here in NPR is that, because migrant workers are deemed rapists and lazy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and they're trying to, once again, promote the high school students to do this, taking the jobs from the migrant workers.
I don't even understand that, taking the job from migrant workers. You either have the job or you don't have the job. What is it? You're entitled, like, just because of your race or where you're from? You're entitled to this job in a foreign country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, I would go to England or Ireland or Africa, and I'm entitled to the job because I'm not from there? What sense does that make?
Yeah, I don't know. And here's the other thing, is this undertone that somehow this kind of hard labor is inappropriate for our high school students. I think our high school students are too soft these days.
Yeah, I was going to say, in light of that, it could be inappropriate to a lot of today's high school students.
Yeah.
I would think it'd be inappropriate for a lot of today's adults.
Right.
Because they're soft.
Well, this man that they...
Which to me would say, you need it. They need it.
Right. That's
right?
My point.
Because they're soft, just like you said.
Yeah, that's my point. So the guy that was interviewed by NPR said, if we took a vote that first day, we would have left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
NPR, I mean, that's your first
clue. Yeah, he says,
clue.
But it literally became a thing of pride. We weren't going to be fired and we weren't going to quit. We're going to finish it. And he says...
Absolutely.
The students tried to make the most of their summer. They started working harder to make more money. And,
yep.
And I thought you could give some input
on that. That was the way it was, man, around here. You know, you pick tobacco. I mean, there are guys out there puking. If you're on the...
Yeah, back then they didn't realize you could wear rubber gloves.
Yeah, if you're
or
out there in
like
the field and you're picking, you know, you get that stuff, you get the tar on your fingers and, you know, you get dizzy. I mean, you're getting high, basically. You guys out there puking the first few days and
you're
stuff.
You're not selling this job for our high school students now. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say our high school students got to get off the Game Boy and get moving.
My point is, in spite of all that, and the heat was terrible, in spite of all that,
mm-hmm.
the kids, like you said, worked harder. It was like a competition. You didn't want to be the guy that quit. I mean, you'd have, you know, a really small number that would quit, not come back. I mean, where it seriously felt so bad that, you know, that overcame your pride. But in a general sense, you know, people stuck it out. You didn't want to be the quitter, and you finished, and it was good pay for kids. And, you know, you had guys come back every summer to do that because once you got through it, it was like a rite of passage, you know,
right,
man,
right.
I can do this, you know, and you'd be sort of the vet out there, you know, the veteran that they looked up to and, you know, I've done this. And you'd see guys that went through it, came back, and they'd be encouraging the new kids, you know. So it built a shared experience, community, it built character. I mean, it taught you what worked. Was about.
So this idea that these migrant workers are doing a job that the Americans would not do.
Man, I think these soft people, they want to raise soft kids. The soft people, they want soft people. You know what I'm saying? You're easily, that way you're easily controlled, which is their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they want a docile nation, a bunch of sissies.
You know, we wrote about that, or I wrote about that in an article where I talk about the Marxist takeover of our education system. It's an article in called Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future on chrisannhall.com. And there actually is a quote in there, and I'm looking it up right now, about the actual goal to create a docile community. And so this is the director of the congressionally established organization called the General Board of Education, formed in 1902, that would become the NEA, right? Would become the Department of Education.
Yeah. Through Rockefeller Endowment, by the way.
Right. So it was endowed by John D. Rockefeller in 1902, but created by Congress, incorporated by Congress as the General Education Board, would become the Department of Education. And the purpose, let me make this clear, the stated purpose of the General Education Board was to set up an educational system that followed the prescripts of Wundt Thorndike and Dewey, which their goal was to create educational laboratories to experiment on our children.
To create their socialist utopia.
So the director of the General Education Board was a man named Frederick Gates. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he is somehow related to Bill Gates.
Or Don Gates.
No, it's spelled different.
Oh, okay.
It's spelled different. It was spelled by Bill Gates, not Don Gates.
Could be.
So he says, and this is a quote from Frederick Gates, the director of the General Education Board in 1902, quote, "In our dream, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive folk."
Yeah, these are the original, is laying the foundations of what Pat Woods talked about with the technocracy. Mm-hmm. These are the guys who want to program and shape the society to build their utopia. They want a nation of sissies, wimps, and freeloaders that they can control and manipulate.
Right. Well, I mean, how telling is it to say we want a people who yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands?
Yeah.
And you can try to recover and from those words if you want, those who enjoy or promote the progressive education system that we have from that. But you can't get away from the plain language that they have there.
Right, the first director of essentially the Department of Education.
Yeah.
Saying this is the purpose. This is our dream.
In 1917, the Congressional Record of the U.S. Senate, published this statement. Now, in 1917, the Senate published this statement, quote, "The General Education Board was authorized to do almost everything conceivable, or almost every conceivable thing which is anywise related to education."
Well, John,
anywise.
And John Dewey talked about in his journals in establishing their utopian ideal. He said we need to seize the teaching colleges. I mean, it started the root of it. One of their launching pads was the educational system, and they said if we can seize the teaching colleges, then which was what was training teachers. Then we have the teachers, and he said in simply a matter of a decade or two, then we'll have the children. Once we have the children,
right, we
will have the nation. So. This stuff's not a coincidence.
No, it's a plan. Now, I've taught this history to groups of people.
That's when you had the teachers in Gainesville crying and vomiting out the
crying
front door.
Because they know Wundt, Thorndike, and Dewey's names, and they're taught in the school systems that these people are actually heroes. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. You know what the last segment reminds me of? It reminds me of the show that we did not too long ago, which I still get comments on, by the way, and our assistant Janet was just stunned as well. She doesn't like hearing her name on the air, by the way.
I don't like hearing my name on the air either.
Where you had this epiphany moment on the air that Benjamin Franklin was 16 years old when he was writing the Silence Do Good letters.
And you see how dumb we are.
Yeah,
how
right.
How dumbed downed we've been.
Well, not only now are we dumbed downed. Dumbed down. Ooh, my brain is moving faster than my mouth today. Dumbed down. Mentally, but we're dumbed down physically as well.
Yeah.
And so
you can't escape the mind-body connection.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, anybody who's seen Charlotte Iserbitt's book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, mm-hmm. that you can pretty much, I think you could download that thing online for free. Everybody ought to read it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it clearly describes the plan, and it's what's happening. It's what's been happening. So that article is an illustration of that mentality. As I said, that's not PC, but I'll say it again. They want a bunch of wimps, sissies, and freeloaders so they can control them.
Right.
And so, no surprise. Yeah, parents ought to make their young people get out and work and do these hard jobs. Yeah, you ought to pick fruit in the field and that kind of thing, man. You need to know what hard manual labor is. I put Colton on a shovel outside just moving dirt from here to there.
Yeah.
So he get an idea of what it's about.
Right. You know? He thinks it's torture, but it's really not.
Well, you get the sense of, you know, another good lesson to learn. I was always told, son, you need to work smarter, not harder. And right. So in the very least, you can get an idea of what you don't want to do.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'm glad for people that dig ditches and mm-hmm. do that kind of thing, but they probably tell you, you know, they'd rather do something else. They won't do this all their life or what have you. It's a good starting point, stepping stone.
You know,
but you find out you don't want to have to work by the sweat of your brow all your life. But if you never come in contact with it, you're going to be missing that part, that understanding and the character that it builds. You need to know what work is in one form or another.
You know, I had a friend in college who was incredibly intelligent, very apt young man. And we worked together as a plumber. Remember, I was a plumber while mm-hmm. I went to school. And our supervisor was a plumber his whole life. Great, great man. And he got to notice that this guy was just lackadaisical. He was partying too much, not taking his school seriously. So he gave us an intervention that changed my life. He made us go, because we went to a small rural college in Illinois. Those of you who listen in Illinois, you'll know Carlinville, Illinois. Blackburn College is where I got my undergraduate degree. He took us to a pork slaughterhouse. Mm. He had friends there. And we got the backstage pass to the pork slaughterhouse.
Wow.
And without going into the gross, gory details, I will tell you that experience changed my life. I seriously, I became physically ill every time I ate pork. And I was a vegetarian for 15 years after that, right?
But you thought, study hard, work hard.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I was like, this is, and that was the point he was trying to make. He's like, you have an enormous opportunity here. Don't blow this, because this is what
you could be doing this
for the rest of your life. And I don't even know where that man is, if he's still alive. I would almost pray to God that he's actually listening, because, you know, I don't know if he kept up with us or whatever. But I am forever grateful for that intervention that he put in our lives.
And
some people
love that stuff. Some people love doing some of these things. But if you have greater opportunity and that's not what you want to do, you know, don't be a whip, sissy, and a freeloader.
Right. Thank I'm not demeaning much. That because there are people, you know, that work has to be done. And I'm grateful for the people that would do that.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, his point was made.
Yeah. And the point is, you look at this, oh, our kids shouldn't have to do that. You're robbing them of opportunity. You're robbing them of life lessons.
Well, I think that because we've become so far removed from these important life lessons, it has actually changed the way our children think about life.
Yeah,
I'll talk
we've
about
lost
that
when
we get
ethic.
Back. Yeah. As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together. The love of our country as our
ammunition. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. We were talking in the last segment about how these life lessons lost have changed America. You talked about how you think they've lost the work ethic, but I want to submit this to you as we sort of finish up with this and we move on to the next segment. I think that because our young people think that hamburger comes from McDonald's,
yeah,
you know, that bacon comes in a plastic wrapper and not from a pig, I believe that this contributes greatly to the loss of value of life that we have in America. No longer do our children have to be thankful that somebody, that some creature had to die so that we could live.
Right.
And I believe that that's a message.
Sure.
That's a gospel message that's being missed.
You know, I agree.
Jesus had to die so that we could live forever in eternity. And now because hamburger comes from McDonald's and bacon comes in a plastic wrapper, you know, when we were in Haiti, I think one of the most valuable experiences in all of that that our son had got to experience was getting to know Baby, the little goat. And then, you know, that became the guest of honor at our going away feast. That made a dinner. And if you'll remember, Colton actually said the prayer at that dinner.
Right.
In which he actually...
Thank God for the life of the goat.
Yeah. Thank you, baby, for giving your life so that we could eat.
Right.
Thank you, God, for this, you know.
That's the sort of, I'm tearing up here.
I just...
Well, that's the problem with these technocrats, these people that want to control everything. Once you control everything, then you're shaping everything in your own image, right? They have their agenda, their message, and that's where these profound lessons are lost, and you lose character, you lose understanding, you lose perspective, because you have these people who think they know everything, but they don't. And so all you're getting is what they know and what they want you to know. And so we create an unnatural society, and you see all of the problems that have come about because of that.
Yeah.
That's just like the bullying thing. It's just a simple example. So now we got this big bullying thing. When I was a kid, we knew how to deal with the bully.
You hit the bully in the face with the lunch pan.
Punch that cat in the nose, get three or four of you, and you could stop that bullying, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had...
I just had a thought.
When I was in school, you know, it was like you had a... Well, what I hear guys talk about now, the sheepdog,
mm-hmm.
right? And you had several sheepdogs,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to stand by and let some bully, because we're in a small town, small community, and we would have kids, these bad kids come in. This happened several times. Bad kids come in to our school from neighboring counties, mm-hmm. neighboring communities. They had caused trouble here. They end up moving this and that. They come to our school and they start bullying people.
Let me interject.
We
just
beat
one
down
second.
Several of them.
Yeah,
but now it's like, you have all the parents and the system all coming in, and you know, you can't defend yourself or you're in trouble. So these kids grow up missing that lesson. They don't know how to defend themselves. They don't know how to stand up for others. You know?
Yeah, let me mention this, though. I'm always very impressed learning about the social environment of your education system. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri,
yeah,
big city.
Setting.
Yeah, an urban setting. And you grew up in the rural setting. And to hear the stories about how, you know, in your school, everybody was family.
Exactly.
And there was no color.
Red, yellow, black, and white.
You were all family. You guys were all together. This is the South, mind you. Where people are like, everybody's racists, right?
Yeah.
But everybody in your little town, and I think that's how schools were supposed to be.
Oh, of course.
Everybody is family. And so to hear you talk about the fact that, hey, you know, we took care of each other.
Exactly.
Right? We watched each other's back. Now we don't have anybody watching each other's back. It's see something, say something to somebody else.
It's the opposite.
Let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah, and that's how those subtle things dismantle the social fabric of America.
Yeah, and that's when I don't know if you remember me saying just a minute ago, wow, I just thought of something. So you teach students, kids, that you can't stand up to a bully,
mm-hmm.
who become adults who feel powerless when their government becomes a bully.
Well, and that's...
They don't know how to unite together in a common cause to come against things.
You're teaching not only disunity, you're teaching dependency,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the message is being sent to these young people. You are not capable. You can't do it yourself. Yeah. You can't be independent. You can't stand up. You have to depend on us,
you're
the government.
You're a community.
The authorities.
Right.
And
right.
So that's the thing, man. That's the thing about liberty and versus control. And so you start having this small group of individuals control and take your independence away and take your liberty away. And it undermines so many of these lessons and these experiences that are necessary to build a whole adult, a fully functioning adult.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that the end goal of Wundt, Thorndike, and Dewey was to produce people like the guy on Verizon commercials?
Oh, brother.
I knew that. That's JC's favorite guy on TV, the Verizon guy.
Those quintessential, today's millennial, it's like the poster board for millennialism. It gets my blood pressure up. I look at those guys, considering what you just talked about, how I grew up, and I believe I learned, life lessons. I went through those experiences of what it takes to make a man. Mm-hmm. What it takes to make a functioning adult.
Oh, and by the way, you didn't have a father in the house, so now you have to be completely, disassociated. You have to be the effeminate guy, right? You were raised by a single mom, which your story proves that all to be wrong
of
to
course.
Begin with. So.
But that society today is against that idea. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is now characterized as, oh, well, you're a chauvinist, racist, misogynist, whatever. To me, I look at that guy, that idiot, that is like fingers on a chalkboard to me. When I look at that guy, that dork on the Verizon commercials and the other, there's several of those idiots out there that are similar. And of course, that's the thing. They're all like cookie cutouts of mm-hmm. each other with their goofy little half-shaven face, a little pencil neck in their shirt collar buttoned up all the way to their around their throat
kind of,
with their little skinny jeans and their stupid shoes and their retarded uncombed
don't stop
haircut.
Using that word.
I don't care. That's their idea. That is the feminization of man. The what do you call it? The neutering.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy, pastor buddy, who's up in Valdosta now. He used to talk about this. And early on, decade and a half ago, he was saying, this is what's coming, this is what's happening. And so when I look at that guy, he is the embodiment of everything that's the opposite mm-hmm. of, what we grew up of what it is to be a strong person, a strong man, responsible and capable. He's the sissified little wimp, nothing of a man. I don't understand. Again, I understand I'm a throwback, and I'm good with that. I don't want to be one of those guys. So I can't.
You're a dinosaur.
I can't for the life of me understand what a woman would be attracted to in that little milquetoast, limp-wristed wussy of a guy like that. What in the world does
every
he
man
have to
out
offer
there
you?
We have truck
they ought to
drivers.
Be amen in me
yeah they
right
are
now.
They're like, oh yeah,
yeah, exactly. Man, because what does but I think I know what it is, because we flipped womanhood, right? So now mm-hmm. it's this, I'm in control and I'm this and that. So that's a guy you can control.
Yeah,
you can tell
what
to do, and you can lead him around like a little lap dog.
That's
who would want that? I'm telling you, when it hit when it hits the fan, when the rubber meets the road, and that guy's got to do something, he's got to put up or shut up. What is he going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing. He's going to fold, like the wuss he is. That stuff gets on my nerves. I hate that, because I don't want that. I don't want to look at my son and say, that's a man. No, son, that's not a man. You see that? You don't need to be that.
Right.
That's a nobody.
Yeah. Well, the government wants you to be that.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Because that man, that person's going to fold
and that's what
under authority.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. When you go back and you read what that quote that you read, the director, the first director
Gates.
Of the Department of Education, you look at that.
Perfect.
That's
hostility.
Like describing that guy.
Yeah.
That's describing Mr. Verizon Dorkball on the commercial. That's him. You read that
quote.
Yeah,
he is the epitome of perfect docility.
Exactly.
Even the way he speaks and presents himself. I hate that commercial because he's, oh, I'm like, what did he just say? He mumbles because he's so insecure and he has so little.
I hate it. I hate it when I see men my age and they take on that look. Like, what are you doing? Why are you pretending to be this crowd?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, we need all of you out there going, JC, you know,
cut
that's
your hair, comb your hair, get some pants that fit. Stop wearing golf shoes around. Come on. Dress like you have some sense.
Which has been the argument for ages, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about style, you know, I'm talking about you look like an idiot. You look like a chick, okay? You're not a chick. Figure out what you are.
Oh, now you're a misogynist.
Whatever. She was like, well, I'm good with that. I'm good. I tell you, I'm not a misogynist. I'm a man. That's what I am.
You know, I want to talk about, this is the last Daily Journal for this week. And Saturday, we have the big show that comes up every Saturday. The big show that runs, which is actually carried by our terrestrial stations.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, carried again by Genesis Communications Network and our terrestrial stations there. And this Saturday coming up, I'm going to, JC and I are going to do a special in-depth program on Manafort Cohen and the real problems that we're seeing here with the Department of Justice and the loss of liberty, the loss of the rule of law. And so I want to make sure that we invite everybody to listen to the Saturday show. You know, we always post it on Facebook and Twitter and on LinkedIn, and it's always going to be on iTunes, Google Music Play, Spotify, and on our own mobile app. And so I just want to make sure that you guys are signed up for that and you invite people to go. It's important to us that you share our shows because, remember, we're trying to reach people that we have not reached. The Chris Ann Hall Show needs to have the reach of Hannity and Levin and Beck. We need to have that reach because we are giving an aspect of this truth that they are not saying. And how will they know if they will not hear?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the last segment of our Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I am Chris Ann Hall. My husband and co-host is JC Hall. And remember, you can always find us at chrisannhall.com, chrisannhall.com. And that article, Stolen Education, Stolen Children, Stolen Future, that we talked about in the first segment of the show, is also at chrisannhall.com. And I want to remind you, go to the link to this show on chrisannhall.com. Sign up for our Daily Journal alerts so that the shows will come to you every day. You don't have to go hunt them down because Facebook is limiting our access. Twitter is now limiting our access. And we need you to be the Liberty First Brigade to spread this truth so that we can be a force to be reckoned with.
Amen. I agree. I'd like to ask the audience to do another thing. I mean, we need you to do this. So one of the ways that we can keep this show going, one of the ways it happens, in fact, the only way it happens, is through support. You know, Chris Ann doesn't charge for her speaking. And so advertisement is one of the things we need to keep the show going. So we need you to do this. Go to insearchofliberty.com and get the In Search of Liberty, Liberty DVD. Remember this, this video, this movie that Chris Ann has talked about, a way to introduce people and spark conversation, wake people up about this need to defend our liberty. Right now, it's only $12.99. It's on sale right now. For $13, right? That's mm-hmm. how you can support the Chris Ann Hall Show. Go to insearchofliberty.com right now and just get a DVD. Come on. Everybody out there can take $13. Think of it as you're contributing to this show because you like it. You want other people to hear it. You want the show to reach more. So $13, that's how you can support. Go to In Search of Liberty and buy a DVD. If you know a teacher, man, teachers every year have to teach the Constitution. You can buy one for a teacher that you know. Maybe you know a teacher hadn't thought about it, or anybody like, hey, man, get
this.
Man,
we used to have movie day all the time at school.
All the time, man. So this is not just some goofy movie to waste the kids' time. This would mean something. This would do something. And we've got to, you know, considering the origins of the education system, the purpose behind it, we've got to get in there and reach these kids, because if it's left to the system, they're going to be taught the opposite. So this would be a great thing. Just $13. I mean, 100 people right now listening to the show can go do that. I think everybody listening right now ought to go and buy a DVD. $13, insearchofliberty.com. Do this for us today. We need you to do this.
We also have a sponsor, Richard Kramer, who does amazing work with inscribing.
Engraving.
Engraving. Yeah. That's the word I was talking. Richard Kramer engraving metalworks. He made an amazingly beautiful Kimber firearm.
Did you put a picture of
that? Yeah, we have a picture of it on the website, and the links to that on to his production. He does jewelry. Hey, look. I'm telling you, you help the Chris Ann Hall Show. Contact Richard Kramer and get him to make some jewelry for you. Get him to do what he does best. And you actually then create an heirloom for your family that will be passed on from generation to generation. And this is how you help us. You're so much better at this than I am.
J.C. Hall says, be a man. Support our advertisers.
Right, right. And you can always
find... Don't be a wuss, a sissy, and a freeloader.
Rich. Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, I would like to do an episode maybe next week on the Daily Journal about helping the liberty economy.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to build a liberty economy.
We
no
need
question.
To build a liberty economy. You know, so many times, even in our conservative circles, we find people who are like, what can I get for free? Right? Yeah. So we speak for free. We travel for it, but it's not free. It costs us money. Yeah. So it's
no
all
cost
coming out.
To you.
At no cost to you. And then yet people come up to the book table and say, what kind of deal can you give
they
me?
They say
right?
that 75% of the wealth is in the hands of the coastal elite. So we need to build a liberty economy to help each other get wealthy and take this wealth back.
And that has to begin with understanding and changing the mind. God bless you guys. Don't forget to tune in on Saturday for a really important Saturday show. God bless.
In sharing the blessings I received, let me know.